Shalom and welcome to Nourish Your Biblical Roots Conversations with Yael. I'm your host, Yael Eckstein, President and CEO of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. On my weekly podcast, I invite thought leaders, authors, pastors, and other religious leaders, politicians, and influencers to share their views on Jewish-Christian relations and Israel and other issues that are of key importance to people of faith today. I am so excited to welcome to the podcast Troy Miller, a veteran of the U.S. Navy, as well as a veteran of the world of technology. Troy has served as president and CEO of NRB-TV since 2005 and as president and CEO of the National Religious Broadcasters since 2022. He's also been named one of the top 50 Christian allies of Israel, a true man of faith and an incredible bridge builder. I'm so excited to welcome Troy today in the lead up to this year's National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Dallas at the end of February. I'll be traveling actually to the U.S. from Israel to meet with the fellowship's many American friends, including Troy, and to learn more about how these friends are standing with Israel and the Jewish people. So today, I'd like to introduce Troy Miller to hear the story of his calling and ministry, his experience in Israel, and how he has led NRB into a future of friendship, fellowship, and faith. Welcome to my podcast, Troy. Thank you so much for being with me.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be with you.
You have so much wisdom to share. I'm excited for this conversation. I know I'm going to just want more. So hopefully you'll already before we finish this conversation, I'm inviting you back. But let's start at the beginning. I am so excited to take part in this year's NRB in Dallas and to talk to you in person. And so let's start by telling the listeners what this annual convention is, which is really the annual meeting of evangelical media. Can you tell us a little bit about the history and mission of NRB, as well as what this meeting holds for those who will be attending this year?
Yeah, thank you. So NRB has been around for 80 years. We just celebrated the last convention, our 80th anniversary. And NRB was formed back in 1944 when radio was this new medium that was really reaching right into homes for people around the country and really around the world. And there was a group of pastors who thought this was a great way to get the gospel message out there, to talk to people, to teach people of faith. And they wanted to go on radio. And just like it, there was a group of gatekeepers that said, oh, no, we're going to decide who gets to and who doesn't get to be on radio. Well, yes. This group of pastors got together at Moody Church in Chicago, Illinois, and formed the National Religious Broadcasters Association to protect the rights, and it's the free speech rights and the religious rights of anybody who wants to be in the public sector. And so that's what NRB has been doing. We advocate for those rights on Capitol Hill with the corporate boardrooms and mainstream media. And we work really hard to get to create as best working environment we can for Christian broadcasters and really just religious broadcasters in general. We work really hard at that. So you're right. Thank you for bringing up the annual NRB convention. It is the largest gathering of Christian media that happens anywhere in the world. This year it'll be in Grapevine, Texas, just right outside of Dallas. We hope to have over 5,000 people there. We have an exhibit floor of over 60,000 square feet, over 260 exhibitors, everything from ministries to our Jewish friends to people that help you in your communications. And so it is, thank you, and not ego on our part, but we really think it is the premier gathering of Christian media together in one place under one roof for 4 days.
Incredible how that started from a little dream to protect religious freedom and grew into one of the main gatherings or the main gathering for religious media globally. And I know every year you move around to a different location, so we're excited that it's in Texas this year. And every year you also have such new content and messages and people that are presenting. I am so excited for my time there because I know there's always so many surprises and things that can't even necessarily be planned that happen. Just as we know people of faith, the spirit overcomes and somehow good things happen. But Can you tell us about one example, a special seminar or a special event that you are most excited about or that we just can't miss this year at the NRB in Texas?
Well, actually, there are several of them. As you know, right now in the world, the big thing most people are talking about in the techie world and the communication world is artificial intelligence, AI. And so we are going to have a major focus on AI this year. We have several AI experts coming in, leaders in the field, pioneers in this field, that will be on panels on our main stage talking about what AI is, what the future of AI is, how AI can help you in your ministry, how it can help you individually. We'll have hands-on workshops for people that want to learn how to get into this new field of AI. So that's one of the things I'm really excited about, is to listen to and find out what all this new innovation is around AI and how it's going to help communicators really do their job better.
It is a new reality we're entering into. And like everything God says, I put in front of you life and death, choose life. That I think with anything that has the ability to be scary or to break apart life as we know it, it also has the ability to build and to inspire more. So the fact that these religious leaders are learning about AI and how it can help their ministry and help spread their message is something that just gives so much hope for the future. And actually, the fellowship will have our booth right next to the entrance this year. And I'll be bringing guests from Israel and America, including a security officer from a kibbutz right near the Gaza Strip, who is a hero from the October 7th attack, saved many lives, and has continued protecting these borders of Israel every day since October 7th. And I'll also be hosting a special conversation with Ben Ferguson that many of our listeners know, a very special event with Glenn Beck, and we'll be presenting a very special panel recognizing the top 10 Christian Zionists. So when I start thinking about the NRB this year, I'm already getting excited. And as we know that the fellowship and our ministry, of course, has grown. And the support that we've been getting from Christians around the world, especially in America, and standing with Israel, standing with the Jewish people, especially since October 7th, has been inspiring, unprecedented. And what I always say is this is the silenced majority finally being able to express their opinions and their voice through the fellowship, through places like NRB and different platforms that respect their religious viewpoints. How have you seen support for Israel grow since your time at the NRB?
Actually, our history goes way back with Israel, several decades. We were looking in our 80th anniversary. We found a photo of Prime Minister Begin meeting in the 1970s with several Christian evangelical leaders. And so we really, that support has just in that friendship has been so strong over the years. We have worked really hard on, I say this, that Christians have had a real affinity for the Holy Land. We look back, it's a historical look at Israel, and we've had that affinity. And then sometimes we also look at the future, and the role that Israel will play in future end times. But one of the things that we've been focusing on is Israel in the present, and especially since October 7th. That was a really changing event, of course, for Israel and all the people across Israel, but it was also, I think, a very changing event for Christians and evangelicals across America, because it really woke up the roots that we have, our Judeo-Christian roots, and the love that Christians have for the Jewish people and for Zionism. We understand that this is the land out of the entire world. This is the land God chose for Abraham. He gave it to Abraham, and nobody else can give it. And look, God created the world so he could decide where and what he wants to give away. But really, after October 7th, I think Christians understood. We kind of sometimes get in all of our business, so we don't understand the hate that can be around the world. I think Christians really understood the situation that Israelis and Jewish people go through every day. I was able to come to Israel in December, just 2 months after the attack, and to meet with people and to bring that message that the Christian church is praying for you. We are praying for your peace. We are praying for your well-being. We are praying for your grief that you're going through, that many people are going through. And I think we've really started to develop not just a connection because of our biblical roots, but a connection because of God's people and all of the people that we meet and we interact with every day. And I've just seen such an outpouring between the Jewish community and the Christian community on both sides.
Yeah, it's inspiring. And it's people like you, Troy, who let the people of Israel know that we're not alone, because especially then, those 2 months after October 7th, it felt like Israel was in a war for our survival. We didn't know what the future held, and it felt like the whole world was turning against us. And so when we saw specifically Christian friends come to Israel and say, I represent hundreds of millions of Christians who are praying for Israel, that message will never be forgotten. It's something that the Jewish people will remember forever, and something I think that the Christian community will also remember forever, how we need one another. In Israel, it's the Jewish people who are being persecuted, but in Israel, it's also the only country in the entire Middle East where there is actually a population growth of Christians. Everywhere else in the Middle East, Christians are being persecuted. And in Israel, of course, there's religious freedom. We have all the Christian holy sites, and we're always happy and excited when we see our Christian brothers and sisters coming to explore their own spiritual roots in the Holy Land. So on behalf of everyone, I just want to say thank you for coming and for what that visit represents. And I know that this is both something that's personally close to your heart, but it's also something that is very much represented on behalf of the Christian community at the NRB. Because of the October 7th attacks last year, I wasn't personally able to be at the NRB, but my team was there, my friends were there, my partners were there. And what they said is that the NRB was unapologetically standing with, praying for Israel, and that it wasn't even a question, nor was it even controversial. What have you seen since October 7th in the Christian community? Has it changed at all as far as how they relate to Israel? And does the NRB feel like being Christian or being in Christian media and standing with Israel is interconnected?
Oh, I think definitely on all those accounts. First of all, I don't know that it's changed. Again, the Christian community, I think, has had always had a love for and an affinity for Israel and for the Jewish people. But I think it really came to the forefront. It really came forward, and the community really rallied around Israel and rallied around, the Jewish people here. We had just a number of calls between the time of October 7th, between my visit in December and then my visit back in May, of churches asking, how can I pray for Israel? How can we pray for the Jewish community? How can we reach out to the community, especially with some of the rise of the anti-Semitism here, excuse me, anti-Semitism on a lot of the college campuses? Many of the Christian groups on those campuses came around the Jewish students and to let them know that, hey, they are loved, they are protected, there are people out here who care for them. And so it was a real opportunity for the Christian community to step up in faith. And I, as you said, it was an opportunity to open doors that maybe hadn't been there before, especially between the Orthodox religious community and the Christian religious community. I have, in the last year, I think I have grown so much meeting with some of the rabbis there and the Jewish leaders in Israel, and understanding those Judeo roots that Christianity has, understanding the view that Judaism holds of God, the high regard for God, the what I would even call the incredible respect and regard for God. And so the Christian community has really benefited from that, and we continue to do that.
Amen. I think we can all of us, whether you were passionate and knew about Jewish-Christian relations for your entire life, or if you were first exposed to it now, I think every Jewish person, no matter where they are as far as politics, has been moved and inspired by this outpouring of Christian love towards Israel and the Jewish people, as so much of the world has turned against us. So I could relate to that completely. As I said in the beginning, Troy, you're a veteran of the U.S. Navy, including commissioning the USS Bunker Hill. Can you tell me a bit about your service and how serving your country helped you better understand world politics, as well as America's role, not just protecting freedom on its own shores, but as a friend and ally of Israel?
Yeah, you know, it's a blessing and an honor to be able to serve in the military. So I give a big shout out to all of the veterans out there and all of those that are currently serving today in both the U.S. Army and certainly all of our friends in the IDF that are serving out there right now on the front lines and behind the scenes. So our prayers are with you. You know, the military is a great place. I grew up in a rural town, in a rural environment in Nebraska. Not a lot of military Navy guys around, a lot of Army and Air Force, but I had an uncle who was in the Navy that just always impressed me. And, you know, they used to say the slogan back then, join the Navy, see the world. And that was really true for me. It was the first time this Nebraska kid was able to get out of the center of the country, the Midwest, and experience cultures from around the world, from the Far East to the Middle East. I spent 7.5 months in the Persian Gulf back in 1987 when the U.S. was escorting tankers in and out, and Iran was threatening to shut down all the oil then. And so you get a real understanding for that the world isn't all America-centric. We sometimes have our blinders on here, but the world really isn't the Western-centric, and there are a lot of different motivations, different people out there, different agendas out there. Iran, you know, with its agenda of world domination and other things. But you also learn that sometimes that the people in the countries aren't the same representatives as the governments in the countries. You know, the governments are one thing, people are another thing. And so that really helped me open up to understand and to step back and not to walk in with all these preconceived notions into other countries about what's going on. And that was the way for my visits with Israel as well. You know, again, we have kind of a sometimes a Western view, and we understand. I had a great discussion with the ambassador to the UAE, the Israeli ambassador to the UAE, and he was telling me that, you know, Israel doesn't want to be seen as a Western country in the Middle East. Israel wants to be seen as a Middle East country on equal footing with its Middle East neighbors. And that's right. That's where Abraham came from. That's Abraham's home, right? Abraham was born in the Middle East. The Jewish people have always been in what we call the Middle East. They have always been a part of that land and that country. And it really made so much sense to me. And I've, you know, helped when I speak at churches and things here, I help to bring that message back to them to understand, you know, what Zionism is and what our Jewish people, who they really are today, who they are, how they love their families, they love their communities, they just want to really live in peace and raise their kids the way that God has given them to raise them. And it's not all this propaganda that goes around about, you know, domination and all of these other things out there. So it's just been such a personal blessing to me. And that really came out of my military experience.
That's incredible. And you've also walked this land where I'm sitting right now in Israel. You've been to Israel before. Can you tell me about your time in Israel and some of the places that are most meaningful to you?
Yeah, so Israel is just a wonderful place. Let me tell you first, the thing that's most meaningful to me is the Israeli people. So hospitable, so kind, just great people to talk to. And like I said, I'm blessed in my position to be able to talk to people that are in the government. I've talked to people that are in non-government organizations, charities over there, people that are in all different aspects of the Jewish faith, whether Reformed rabbis and Orthodox rabbis and other people of the faith there. And every time I get to meet and talk to the Jewish people, it's a new experience and it's a new learning. And so that's great to be. Going to, I think Tel Aviv was actually one of my favorite places. We stayed in a hotel that was right on the beach. And a couple of
Beautiful.
nights I got to go for walks and watching people, play volleyball and do all the things that you think that go on. Just a wonderful place. Always, myself always feel safe walking around there. But then to see the biblical lands as well, to go to the place, to be driving by and go, hey, this is where we think, most likely scholars think David and Goliath had their epic battle. These are the roads where Jesus walked. This is probably where Paul headed out to go on his missionary journeys, and to have all of those things. And then to go up, on our last trip, we were able to go up to Judea and Samaria, and to go up to those and go up into the mountains, into the hills there, to overlook all of Israel. And you realize, wow, this really is kind of a tiny country when I can be up on one end of the border and see almost all the way to the Mediterranean and to the sea, and to see what the country is, and to meet some of the people up there in those communities. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place with all of its history, but also, like I said, with the present of all of its people today.
How incredible. You are one inspiring person. Everything that you've covered today, from faith to your service and dedication to the US, to it seems like you have an appreciation for life wherever you find it, and you're able to look at the world through those godly eyes of seeing that spark of God in every single person while still recognizing the threats. As we say, Hashem oz la'amo yiten, Hashem yivarech et amo bashalom. Sometimes the only way to peace is through strength. So to be able to hold those two sides of love and appreciation and loving your neighbor like yourself and knowing when to turn the other cheek and also recognizing there's a time where the military is needed, where we need to fight for these values that Jews and Christians hold dear. We have to make sure that our civil society that sanctifies life survives. There's darkness and there's light, and Troy, you stand on the side of light, and you are strengthening that light, not only in America, not only through the NRB, but the entire world. So we honor and we thank you for that. Before we go, I would be so honored if you would close our conversation in prayer.
Oh, and that would be an honor for me as well. Thank you very much. It's been a joy to be with you. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the grace and the mercy we give you. We thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty, that you are seated on the throne. We also thank you, Lord, that your promises are irrevocable. And Lord, you promised this land to Israel, to the Jewish people, and that is irrevocable. And Lord, we stand behind that. We stand behind our Jewish brothers and sisters. Lord, we stand behind the nation of Israel and its rights. And Lord, I ask that your hand would be upon them, that your blessing would be upon them, Lord, that you would go forth before them in all of the battles, Lord, that they are in because of their defense, not because, Lord, they are looking for conquering anything. Lord, be with all the IDF soldiers. Protect them. Bring them home safely, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for all of our Jewish friends who will be traveling to NRB, Lord. Give them safe travels. And may we, Lord, together bring glory to you and to your name around the world. Amen.
Wow. Troy, thank you so much. I pray the promise of Genesis 12:3 over your life, that God will reveal himself to you, to his fa to your family, and to everyone who is connected to you in revealed blessings and only good things. We thank you, Troy, for everything you are and everything you stand for. And we believe that this year's NRB is going to be a true success, inspiring many, educating everyone, and forming more unity. How good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in peace. Thank you for everything you do, Troy.
Thank you.
God bless.